Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Dalet, holding a brand new Mishnah, Mishnah at the top of Lamed Dalet, Omer Aleph, Zot the Mishnah. Ha'oiver lefnei ha'teva, a person who is davening for the Omer, he's the Shliach Tzibur, the Ta'a, and unfortunately he made a mistake in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and he doesn't know how to continue. And remember, we're talking about in a time where they did not have printed Sidurim, and so therefore this person just couldn't find his way out of the davening. He had made a mistake. As we'll see in the Gemara, the mistake that he made was he left out one of the brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. And the Olam decides he cannot continue because he doesn't know how to get out from this problem. So Yavar Acher Tachtav. So go and appoint somebody else to be the Shlich Tzibur instead of him. Obviously the first Shlich Tzibur is able to find his way back. That's fine. But if you see that he cannot, and we need a new replacement, they should appoint somebody else to be Shliach Tzibur. And when we appoint that second person to be the replacement, he should not be stubborn about it. Because as we'll see mentioned in the Gemara shortly, when you are mechabed someone, for instance, a daven for the Amud, he is supposed to initially be misarev. He's supposed to initially refuse. And then even the second time, he's supposed to go only half-heartedly. And only after the third time should he go and accept and run up to the Amud. Here we're saying, because the Olam is now in a plunter, we got a big problem on our hands. The first Shliach Tzibur is kind of run out of gas, and we need a brand new Shliach Tzibur to take over. The replacement should not start humming and hemming and hawing, but he should go straight to the Amid, as we'll see him at Shemin the Gemara shortly. The Meichnu Maschu, where should the new Baal Tefillah begin? Metchilas HaBrocha SheToazeh, from where the first one was Toeh. So for instance, if the first person who had done for the Amud, let's just take an example. He got the Salach Lonu and he skipped it, meaning he had said, for instance, Atchon Hamdas, and then Hashavini bin Sarasecha, and the Kiv Salach Lonu, he skipped it. And then he said, Re'ena b'yanyenu, and he said, Refo'enu, and now, oy, 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 I just remembered I forgot Salach Lonu. What happened to the whole Olam? Everybody else was learning, they were looking into a Sefer or doing something else, and nobody chapped. Anyway, so bottom line is he left out Salach Lonu. So now the new Baal Tefillah should begin again from Salach Lonu and continue on, even though there's going to be a repeat now of Re'ena B'Yonyenu and Refo'enu. But that's fine. He has to go back to where the first one, not where the first one left off, but the first one was Toeh, forgot the brach. Because remember, in our example that we posited, the person said correctly Atachoinen and Hashiveinu and then Re'enu B'yonyenu and Refo'enu, but he left out Salach Lonu. So the new Baal Tefillah should go back to Salach Lonu, even though he's going to be repeating the Re'enu B'yonyenu and the Refo'enu. And we learn to Rashi Pshat. If you look at the Rashi here, second Rashi in the Mishnah, about 10 lines in, says Rashi Metchilas HaBrocha SheToa Zeh, and delay if the first Baal Tefillah left out Achas Min HaBrochas the Omer Acheres, and he said another bracha or brachois after that. And he cannot figure out how to go back and then repeat it and say it correctly. He just can't. Then the new replacement should go and start the bracha that he left out. He should continue on then straight. In other words, he shouldn't just fill in the missing bracha and continue on. No. He should say the missing bracha and continue, even though he's going to be repeating one or two brachos that the first chazan already said. And we're going to talk more about this in the Gemara. Joking more about it. Now let's talk about a case of dichanan. Ha'oyver lefnei ha'teiva lo yana omein achar ha'kohanim lefnei ha'tiruf. Again, we're talking about that there were no sidurim, so everybody typically knew the normal seder, but if you're going to make any changes, that can go and throw everything to mayhem and to confusion. So we're afraid that this Baal Tefillah, if the Kahanim are going to Dichan, if he's going to go and say Amen, he won't be on an easy footing to remember to say after that Yor Hashem Panav Eilecha, or to go and start Yis Hashem Panav Eilecha. Don't say Amen, just have in mind after Yishmerecha I know I got to say Yor, and after Bichuneka I got to go and say Yisa. Don't say the Amen in the middle of the Hatira, because he may get confused. The imen shem koyin alohu. What happens if the Baal Tefillah himself is the koyin and there is no other koyin? So what should he do? Lo yisas kapav. He should not go and be the one that dichens, even though somebody else is going to go and call out the yivarecha koyin yoyer. He shouldn't do it because we're afraid that after he finishes dichening, he won't be able to get back to his lines to be able to say sim sholem properly because he's going to be totally confused. However, dim haftachase should not yisas kapav. However, if the Baal Tefillah is a person who has a lot of self-confidence, and apparently he's a regular Baal Tefillah, so he's used to this type of thing, and he feels, I have nothing to worry about, I can turn around, I can go and do the dichanan, and then I can return to the Tefillah, and I will not go and get fablonjit, I won't get confused, but sure, then it's okay, then you are allowed to.
It's allowed to step out from Shemoneh and turn around to face the Tzibur.
You even have that today. In Eretz Yisrael, it's quite prevalent, because as you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have daily dichanan.
Yes.
So what happens if you have a koyin who has, for instance, yard site, so he wants to dam for the yomim? So when it comes to l'chonu l'hoidois, he's going to turn around together with all the other kahanim, and then somebody else will go and say yivarech for a koyanim, and he's going to say the brach and the whole thing. And then when he finishes dichanan, he'll turn back and he'll say simshah. You're allowed to. What the Mishnah tells us is, if he's not confident that he can do this properly without fablunging, he taka shouldn't. However, if he can, he has no problem to be noises kapav and to return to the tefillah without any confusion, then he can do it. It's not a problem. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Omid, says Rashi, im ein shom koyin elohu hachazin, the chazin, lo yisis kapav, shem lo yuchal lachzor letvilosoi, lo das lechavein lahaschel b'sim sholoim. It's not just a question of messing up his lines. There's a whole 10 or 20 or 100 people listening to him, and there's Amos Aditzibura. He has stage fright. Uh-oh, what's my next word? What am I supposed to say? If he has total confidence, then he can go and turn around, say the Gan Tzadikhanan, continue and say Sim Shalom. That is Rishoy, then that is permissible. Okay, Zokimar, Tanu Rabban. We started off the mission that if a first Shliach Tzibur was To'eh, and now someone else takes over, the next person who takes over should not be a Sarvan. He should not be a refusnik. He shouldn't be stubborn. He should take this kibbut immediately. So says Zokimar, Tanu Rabban, within the Braisa, so even if Neha Teva. What happens if the Gabe goes over to someone and says, Yankel, please do me a favor. You have a wonderful voice. Please go down for the Yomt. The first thing you should do, it's not for me. And get somebody a choshev. So he should be misarif. The main of misarif. And if the person is not misarif, if he immediately goes and jumps on the amid, it's as if you're talking about a food item that was not sufficiently salted. Now, what exactly is the mushel over here? A tavshel she'ein bei melach. So from the meir, the mashmois is because he looks like a glutton. You go and mechabed him, and the first thing is he jumps on it. And you go and jump on food when you're very, very hungry, maybe even if it's not fully seasoned and it's not fully prepared yet, I'm so hungry I can eat it even if it's semi-raw, even if it hasn't been cooked, even if it's this, I'll go even eat sushi if necessary, I'll eat it even though it's raw. So, also tafsha imba melech, it's as if it was not sufficiently cooked and not sufficiently salted and not sufficiently seasoned. He is hungry, he wants to get it. However, if it's the other way around, if he's too stubborn and he really makes it difficult for the gabay, then it's as if this tavshel already had too much salt. Literally, the word dichose means that it got burned. Usually salt doesn't burn, but it means that it's ruined as a result of the fact that there's too much salt, just like if the food was burned, it would also be ruined. So he's just using that as a counterbalance. So if you jump on the Amud, it looks like you're such a glutton that you're so hungry for the Amud that it's as if there's no melech yet. And if you misarv yoisimidai, it's like the other extreme, as if there's too much melech. So Ketzer Oisim, so what should a person do? If the Gabi asks you, you sarv. You should say, no, it's not for me, not today, I'm not feeling well, I might have a noseache, a stomach ache, I can't. Shnia, the second time he asks him, mahavev. What exactly means mahavev? Here he should kind of start stammering and stuttering, and Rashi says he should start preparing himself to go. If you look at the Rashi, mahavev, five lines after the beginning Gemara, kolayim mazman atzmai kimoi ninar lelamit. He should really start kind of making motions as if he's going to get up. He doesn't get up yet, but he's kind of in the throes of getting up. By the time he asks me the third time, then then he should go and stretch out his feet and stand up and go to the Amid. But that's under normal circumstances, but not in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, where the first Baal Tefillah has to leave because he's unfortunately totally lost, fablunged, then the new Baal Tefillah should go off immediately without any hesitation. Yes, Mr. Friedlander, you want to ask something? Tana Rabban, state in the Braisa. Shloisha Ruban Kosher, there are three items where too much of them is no good. Like a Kolomoisiv Gareah. It's not good. In the U-turn, if you have a small amount, you offer this is good. Which are the three? The Elohim. Seor. Seor is yeast or sourdough that you put into the dough to make it rise. If you have the normal moderate amount, it's going to cause it to bake nicely. If you have too much, it's just going to make the whole thing is not going to work. If you put in less, but if you put in too much, the whole thing will go bad. Melach, too much melach, as you know, if it's too salty, you can't. If you only have a little melach, okay, nishkeferlech, it may not be as tasty as you'd like it to be. In fact, it's probably much healthier, it has less melach. But the point is, miyut is yofa, ruban, too much is no good. The sarvonis, and being a refusenik, to being stubborn, also, it's good to be a little bit stubborn, first once or twice, but the third time the gabbai asks you, go to the amid, don't give any more props. Amar Ravuna. Now let's go back to the case of the Mishnah, a person who is Toeh. So it says, we have a machlokes now, Rav Huna and Rav Asi. What happens when the first Baal Tefillah is Toeh? What do we do at this point? Toeh b'sholosh shoshanos. If he made a mistake in the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, choizel l'raish. He should go back, or the replacement should go back to the beginning. What Rav Huna is telling us is that if you look at Shemoneh Esrei, really you should group it into three separate segments. You have the first three brachos is one unit. From Atachonein until Shemea Tefillah is a second unit, and then from Ritzei until Sim Shalom, until Hamavorach Hasam Yisrael Bashalom, until the end of Shemoneh Esrei, that's a third unit. So where was the mistake? If there was a mistake, B'shol HaShishonis. For instance, in Mechalke Chaim B'chesed Mechayim Meisim, he left out Reif HaChoylim or Matir Asurim or whatever, he kind of got lost and fablunged in the middle of the first three brachas. So when the new Baal Tefillah gets to the Amud, he shouldn't start off from Mechalke Chaim, he should start again from Baruch Ata Hashem, from the beginning, L'Roish, to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. If the first Baal Tefillah made a mistake, Bim Tzoyis, he made a mistake in Slach Lanu, or Rifa'enu, don't start from there, but the new Baal Tefillah, Choyzel Atachoinin, should start all the way beginning from Atachoinin, because that's the second group of brachis. Biachroinois, if he's going now to the third group, in other words, he made a mistake in the middle of Moidim, for instance, then Choyzel Avoida, then the replacement should start from Ritzei, instead of starting from Moidim. Okay, very simple, three segments, three groups. Ravasi Omar Emtsois Ein Lehen Seder. The what means Emtsois Ein Lehen Seder? So Rashi learns that Emtsois Ein Lehen Seder means that what happens like in the case that we spoke about before, that the first Baal Tefillah forgot Slach Lanu, and he only remembered after Rafa'enu, and he himself wasn't able to trace back and say it normally, so we got a new replacement to start from there. So Ravasi says the new replacement doesn't have to go and repeat the Re'enu B'Yanyenu and Refa'enu, but all he has to do is say the replacement bracha, the bracha that was missed, that was the Slach Lanu, and then continue from there to Baruch Aleinu. Look at the Rashi. Ein Lehen Seder, Rashi about five lines lower. Then Dileg Bracha Achas, if he left out a bracha, the first Baal Tefillah left one. The Achakach Nizkar Ba, and after that he remembers. So even though it's out of order, Slach Lanu is supposed to come in as bracha number three after Atachoinen, Hashiveinu, and then he's supposed to go and say the Slach Lanu. Okay, that's the Chetchila. But B'diavad, if he only remembered that he left it out before Baruch Aleinu, say then. If he remembers it by Es Tzemach Dovr Avdecha, say then, and then just continue on, because Emtsoyis Ein Lehem Seder, there is no Kavua Dika Seder.
We're not talking about the replacement, we're talking about the original Baal Tefillah.
It could be both, it makes no difference.
Okay.
You'll see in a moment, because Gemara is going to ask a Kasha from our Mishnah. Mm-hmm. The reason why you keep on saying about the second, because the assumption is that the first one is so blundered, so confused.
He's dropped out.
He dropped out and he says, please, give me another chance tomorrow, today, I just can't. Anyway. So we have now a machlokes between Rav Huna and between Rav Asi, where Rav Huna says if there's a mistake in the middle brachas, the focus here is going to be on the middle brachas, start again from Atachonein, where Rav Asi says, wherever you are in the Shemoneh Esrei, you left something out, fill it in now and just continue on. Is Masad Rav Sheshes. Meheichanu Choyzer. From where do you begin? Rav Sheshes is quoting from our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah said that on the fourth line of the Mishnah, Meheichanu Maschil, here to Mechon Uchoyzer.
You see, there's a base. We probably change that to Maschil. Anyway, Tchilas HaBrocha SheToezer.
He should go and start again from the Brocha that this one was Toeh. Said the Marty of the Rav Huna. Because the Kunt Rav Huna, you don't start from this Brocha. You have to start all the way from Atachonen LiAdam Das. And therefore, what's going on? Here the Mishnah says, you're choizer to wear mitchilas habrocha shetozer. Wherever this one made him, he made a mistake, slach lanu. Start from slach lanu. He made a mistake, refainu. Start refainu. He doesn't say you go back all the way to atachonen. It's like Shvein Rafuna, because Rafuna said, them tzoyes. Choizer liato choinen. Amulach Rafuna, Rafuna said, not nuj gefährlich. Although the Mishnah is not speaking with great precision, but that's what the Mishnah really means when it says Mehechonu Choizim Etchilas Habracha. We're viewing the entire Atachonen until Shemei Atfila as one long bracha. Yeah, of course there are clauses and there are sentences in between, and we say Baruch Hu V'Shemoy, and we say Amen for sure, absolutely. But it's really one lengthy bracha which goes on for two pages, and therefore that's what the Mishnah really means, that you start again from the end. Sorry, it's not that you start again from that particular bracha, but you start again from the beginning of the middle brachas, from Atachayim.
Why is it not a kashan or a
mask? Oh, very good. So now the question is, why did the Gemara only ask a kashan of Funa? Why the Gemara's kasha is even stronger than Ravasi? Because in Afuna and Mela we gave now a tereth. But what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if you left out a bracha, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go back to the Tchilas HaSeder, wherever you left it out. In our case, again, he left out Slachlanu, even though he only remembered when he's about to start Baruch Aleinu. He says, well, I can't, I'm just totally lost, I can't. Oh, so he gets the new Baal Tefillah. New Baal Tefillah start again from Slachlanu and then continue on. Reino b'yon yeinu and rifo einu. But Ravasi said, no! You can just start from wherever he left off. He's at Baruch Aleinu. Say Slach Lono Viniki Chatano. And then after that, just continue on. Baruch Aleinu. You don't have to repeat the Re'enu Beyond Yenu and the Refa'enu, because that was already, that's what Rashi said, right? Ein Lem say, said Rashi. Then Dileg Brocha Achas, if you left out a Brocha. The Yachach Nispa. Oim Rav Shalush Leivim Koima. You don't have to go back to where the first Baal Tefillah left it out. Say it over here. It's out of Seder. Ein Lem Seder. So Freitach Jake, and I think that was what Barry was about to ask. The kash is also on not only Rav Huna but also Ravasi. And in fact, if you look next to Tiftah Rav Huna, there's a little gimel over there which tells you that in fact is another girsa in our Gemara. Where is this gimel? Hagodas Vitzionim, here on the right hand side. It says in the others that have the regular Gemaras, it says in Masorah Sashas, it says over there, Tiyuftad Rav Asi, this is a kasha on Rav Asi. Lame also is Tiyavit Tiyuftad Rav Huna. In other words, the Gemara is saying is, not like we have in our Gemara, Tiyuftad Rav Huna, but Tiyuftad Rav Asi. Rav Asi L'chayr Zayashver. The Mishnah says, if you left out Slachlonu, go back to Slachlonu and continue on from there, straight. Even though the first Baal Tefillah said it, repeat it again, it has to be in Seder. Ravasi said, no, you don't need a Seder, everything is fine. That's the other Girsa, Tiyufta Ravasi. And in fact, they say, if you continue on in the Hagoyz V'tiyunim or the Masorah Sashas, wherever you have it, Kacho Yigirsa Lefnei Rashi. And that was Rashi's Girsa. I'm Besoif Sefer Karman Nisanel. Anyway, that's another gear, something more taka tiyufta ravasi, not tiyufta ravuna. But lemaisa it's a kasha ravuna as well, because ravuna says you go back to the atachoinen. And that's why in the Goddess Vitzionim it says, tiyufta ravasi, this is zikr a knockout kasha ravasi. There's no question about it. Lema, let us say it's also tiyufta tiyufta ravuna. And on that thing, more says, no, ravuna nish gefairlich. Because ravuna, you can answer already. How? Because Ravuna says you go back to the beginning of the middle brachas, the Atachoinen. That's what the Mishnah meant. When the Mishnah says, L'mehechen hu maschil, where should you start from? Metchilas ha-bracha shetozeh. That means from the beginning of the brachas emtzoyos from Atachoinen. So that we could answer. But in Ravasi, the Gemara doesn't give an answer, and therefore the Choyra, it means shver on Ravasi. Yes, Barry.
The difference is that Ravasi is saying chozer, and the Mishnah is saying maschil. Yeah. Ravashi seems to be talking about the same Baal Tefillah, that he simply picks up with us and says no Seder, he doesn't have to repeat, go back to Slach Lanu and go forward from there, because he's already said the subsequent brachas to Slach Lanu. But the Mishnah is talking about Maschil when you're replacing him. So Rav Asi is talking about a Chozer situation, which is the same about Tfila, where he got confused and somebody paused him and said, hey, you know, you skipped Slach Lanu.
See, what you want to do is you want to say it's a Kasha, but we have a Tarek.
I want to defend Rav Asi.
You want to defend Rav Asi. The Gemara assumed that this Machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Asi is regardless of whether the first Baal Tefillah is continuing on or whether new Baal Tefillah is taking off. The right to that is because why is the Gemara asking Akasha and Rav Huna? The Gemara couldn't say, well, why? Rav Huna says, Choy the Rosh Mitzoyis, it's only talking about if it's the same Baal Tefillah. He starts him at the Chaynin. But a new Baal Tefillah, then he should start wherever the first one left off and just continue on from there. So in other words, you could say the same teretz you're giving on Rav Asi, you can give Rav Huna. Since the Gemara didn't give that teretz, the Gemara is assuming that there's no difference between if it's the first Baal Tefillah or it's the second one, the replacement one. Bottom line is, if there's a mistake, where do you start from? So there appears to be, at this point, three separate deos, three separate viewpoints brought in our Gemara. We have the Mishnah that says that if you left out, by mistake, a bracha, go back to where that bracha it normally resides, normally where it's located in Shemoneh Esrei, right? And then repeat and continue from there. According to Rav Huna, no, you go all the way back to Adur Choynei, and then you have Rav Asi that says, no, wherever you find it, just insert it over there and just continue on from there. You don't have to go back. So the Mishnah is shver on both Rav Huna and Rav Asi. And Rav Huna already answered. The Mishnah, when it says you go back, you don't go just back to Slach Lanu. You go back to Ata Choynein because it's all one unit. So we can as a question. But Rav Asi, the Choy is shver. And according to this girsa that we have on the side, which the side in the Surah Sasha says is the gears of Rashi, and in fact there is no teretz on that Avasi, because Avasi is shver from our Mishnah. However, we have our girsa, which is not that girsa. It doesn't say to you after the Avasi. And the reason why we don't have that girsa is because in fact there is a Tosis down below that learns a different pshat than Rav Asi. So if you go to the Tosis on the fourth wide line, and Tosis Ein Lehem Seder, this is Rav Asi speaking, then dilik bracha achas, if you left out one bracha, v'yachach niskaba, and now he remembers, oi, I left out Slach Lanu, shaloivim kaima, he's in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, and he remembers, oimer b'mokiv sheniska, he could say that by Baruch Aleinu, and just continue on, he doesn't have to go back to the beginning. Why not? And this Tois is considered to be Koyr l'mafreya. Why is it Koyr l'mafreya? Because you're supposed to go and say it in order, and he is saying it out of order. So that's like l'mafreya, saying it retroactively. Of course, there are other ways of learning l'mafreya as well. Did you say the words backwards? Did you say the psukim backwards? But Tois is learning that when you say brachas out of order, that's also a problem in l'mafreya. So how could Rav Asi argue on that Mishnah in Masechtas Megillah, especially when it says in the Braisa, not only by Megillah, but b'chein b'kriyashma b'chein b'tfillah? That what did Rav Asi mean when he said the Ein Lehem Seder, the comma, and she yaschil b'mokan shedileg habrocha u'misham ve'elach yoimer hakoil al ha-seder. In other words, exactly like we learned in our Mishnah. What does Reb Asi mean when he says Ein Lehem Seder? That means you realize that you left out Slach Lanu between Lemoshel Rafa'enu and Baruch Aleinu. So what are you supposed to do? She asked the Mamakim Shadileg Bracha, go back to the Bracha that was deleted, Shadileg, back to the Slach Lanu. And you say everything now on the Seder. Even though what's happened now is things have been slightly out of Seder. Because he originally said, and then he said, and then he said, and then he said, and now he's saying, and then he's saying, Reina. It's a little bit of a jumble over here, because he's repeating again and going out of Seder. That's what Rav Asi meant. No, if that's what Rav Asi meant, that's exactly like our Mishnah, and there's no kasha whatsoever. So that's why, according to the gears of our Gemara, the Tosis is pshat fits more easily into the Gemara because we don't have that Gersa Tiyuf to Rav Asi. Because Rav Asi and the Mishnah are saying exactly the same thing. That even though the thing is a little bit jumbled, that he had to go and take, he was already after Rafa'enu, the new Baal Tefillah goes back to Slach Lanu, and then he goes Re'enu and then Rafa'enu and Baruch Aleinu. It sounds like the whole thing is a little bit out of Seder, out of whack. and that's what you're supposed to do. Don't go back to Atachoinin like Rav Huna says, but just wherever you left off, go back there and then continue on further. So that's exactly like the Mishnah, therefore it's not Shver at all on Rav Asi. It's good Jake, and Zavrin. Good, Baruch Hashem. And you also agree, Barry, so it's kind of unanimous, and therefore we continue on, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Sam. Am Rav Yehuda. Since Shimon Esrei is in fact is these three segments, the first three brachas, the final three brachas, and the middle brachas, throughout the week when a person wants to make a bakasha to Ribbono Shel Olam, he should not say it by the first three, and he should not say it by the final three, but only in the middle ones. Why? To Reb Chanina, Rishoyno is doimeli Eved Shemesader Shebach Lefnei Rabboi, when a Eved wants to go and ask a bakasha from his master, he doesn't just jump in and say, "Master, I need A, B, and C." First he comes and says, "Master, you know you're such a wonderful person, and you know how compassionate you are, and you know how full of mercy you are, and what a great master, and I can't think of a better king to work for because you are so generous and so gentle and so gracious. And now I have a bakasha." So that's the way our Shemon Esrei goes. We first extol the virtues of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Akel Hagodol Hagibur Banoira, Kodesh Baruch Hu is so great. Kodesh Baruch Hu is so great. Etc. Etc. Chasodim Toivim. Etc. And Chayim Meisim and Magen Avos. Everything that we say is all extolling virtues of Kodesh Baruch Hu and being Meshabeach and praising. Then Amtsoy is doing the Evet Shemavakish Pras Mei Rabbi. Now the Evet wants to have some sort of portion, some sort of present, a salary, some fringe benefit, whatever he wants from his Rabbi, then Achroimis. When you finish with the middle ones, now the final brachas is doing the Eved Shekibo Prasmi. Rabbi, he got what he was looking for. The Nifta Vahilachloya, now he says to the Rabbi, "Farewell, thank you very much, I appreciate it." Rashi says, Nifta means Noitl Rishus. He says, "Rabbi, I'd like to leave now, and I thank you for the time that you spent with me," etc., etc. So therefore, don't have bakoshes in the first three, and not in the final three brachas of Shemon Esrei. Now, throughout the year, that sounds very, very good. In fact, when do we start our bakashas? At the chayin, could Baruch Hu give us a little mosaichel? Hashivinu v'sorasech, accept our tshuva. Slachlanu, Baruch Aleinu, give us parnasa, Shema Kaleinu. That's where we say all of our bakashas. However, there's one big problem with that. So what is that? During Aseres Meitshiva, when it comes to after Be'ahava, Zochrein l'chayim, Melech Chovetz v'chayim, remember us v'chayim. Ein l'cha bakasha gedoy l'mizu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, remember us for life, for the next year. Mi'chamoicha, etc. All of these are bakasha. That sounds like a bakasha, says Uri. So what do we do with that? So it's not my kasha. Toysis has his kasha here on the bottom. Second Toysis from the bottom. Al yishal odim tzrachu baby gimel shoyt v'gim achrein is pirush v'beinu chananu v'rabbeinu hai the dafka liyachid or maybe v'rabbeinu hai dafka liyachid ava tzorchi tzibur shayalin lakachanu oimrim zachreinu ukroivitz krevitz is what we say on Purim and the yalav yovoi behem. We say Yalav Yovi in the final three, meaning in Ritzei. We say Yalav Yovi, the Yagir, the Yerotzei, etc. Zachreinu, the Soiva, Chavdeinu. These are all again Bakoshes. These are the last three that we're talking about for Klali, so for the Tzibur Yalach. Betayde Dafki Yochid Koma, Shari Iker Brochas, Zachreinu, Tzorchi Tzimurheim. After all, the whole Inyan of the last Brochas is all Tzorchi Tzimur. Sim Sholem, Tzibur Rocha Chaim, Rachm Aleinu, Vakoy Yisrael Amelcha, Borcheinu, Avinu, Kulonu, Kiyach, everybody together.
What is the word?
Krevitz. You say on Purim. On Purim, you have the.
It's like
you have Yotris
and the
stuff. It says Yotris in the first one. Krevitz.
Yes,
Mazuk.
But even during
Bakosh,
you say
Hashivayin.
Also,
you're 100% right. You're right about that, but like saying that, in other words, you're saying what's the right about the brachas achrayinus?
You can't have shalom. You can't have shalom individually. You have to have shalom as a community.
Oh, you see that? You hear what he's saying? You can't have shalom on your own to yourself. It's easy to have shalom. To have shalom with somebody else, that's where the problem.
That's communal. That's communal bracha.
No, you stay with shalom.
Yeah. 368. We're going to look up for Mr. Friedlander. This is the. Kroivik, the Purim. This is what you say. Shtikli Yoitzris after every one of the. Okay, it's called Kroivik. Okay.
Now Shul the Seder.
Yeah, but no Tachanim out there.
And Purim, yes. Kroivik. Some say the Kroivik is Rosh Tevis. Koil Rina Vishua Bi Olei Tzadikim. Kroivik. Koil Rina Vishua Bi Olei Tzadikim. Anyway, so you start a Baruch Ato Hashem, and then you add this right before him, uh-huh. And then after that, Magen Avraham, and you say, then you say this shtickle, and this shtickle. Yeah, exactly. Just like you have Yoytzis on Shabbos for Shemoneh Esrei, this is Yoytzis on Purim. Exactly right. And that's called credit. Anyway, continue on to Timur Yetz Vaiter. Thank you. Tanaban. Five lines before the wide lines.
From Tosfos,
yes.
That we had Kovitz, didn't have Yoytzis.
Uh-huh.
They take, as example, Kovitz, not Yoytzis. Not Yoytzis came as a later.
It could be that, first of all, you have to look at the Yoytzis to see whether they are Bakoshis or not. But even assuming that there are, on Shabbos, there are no Bakoshis. On Shabbos, you only have the three, and the middle one, well, got a Shabbos. So therefore, right. There's no difference now between the middle and the front and the back. It's all right. No problem. Anyway, getting back to the only time you have Yoytzis, quote unquote, is only in the middle of the week. Not on Shabbos, is only by Purim. Don't know about Mazel Talmud Echad. Shiur Lefnei Ateva, Ibn Mechabed, a Talmud to go and daven. And he was a long Balfour. Now, we don't mean that he davened slowly. What we mean to say is that he added on extra tachnunim when he was standing there at the Omid. And apparently the Olam was not so happy. And Omuloi Talmidim, and the Talmidim said to Reb Lezer, Rabbeinu kama orkenuze, look how long this Balfour is davening. Omulahem said, really, you think it's so long? Klamarach Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu dechsib bei Esar Boim Ayoyim Es Boim Haloyla. The Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal for Klal Yisrael 40 days and 40 nights. You have to agree that this person is shorter than that. So, let's don't complain. Shuv Ma'isav Am Talmud Echad. And then there was a reverse story. Shuv Yarol Fnei Atim Fnei Rabbi Lezer. When you Mekatzer Yosef Midai, and he was being Mekatzer. Apparently, he left out certain parts of the davening. Omri Talmidav. Look how short this baltzvil is. That's the shortest tefillah in history. He's certainly not shorter than that. It's a little bit difficult for us to understand these stories because, after all, you look in the Siddur, what does it say? But again, those times, he didn't have printed Siddurim, and things were a little bit, if you will, laissez-faire, so that the Baal Tefillah could be Marach and Makatzer, add a Tefillah, end a Tefillah, it's a subtracted Tefillah. So therefore, it caused a certain degree of consternation, and Reb Lezer defended the Bali Tefillah. What happens if you make a special tefillah and you have in mind for a chaver of yours who needs a refuah, a yeshua, a parnasa, this, that, or the other thing? You don't have to mention him by name, shenemer, just like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu when he was mispal for Miriam. Kel no refona la. It doesn't say refona la achoisi or le Miriam. It just says refona la. Like kamikishma de Miriam. There are, however, mafoshim that say that this is only in a situation where the subject of the tefillah is present when that person is being mispal. In other words, Miriam and Aharon were within the vicinity of Moshe Rabbeinu, so when he was saying, Kel Nerefon Allah, it's quite obvious about whom he is referring. However, if in fact Miriam was in Alaska, or she would not have been on the premises at that time within the vicinity, then you would have to mention her name after all. So that's what some of the Mefarshim say, that this, you don't have to be Maske Shmoy, is if the person is around, not if the person is somewhere else. Tanurban. We're talking about now the bowings that we bow when we get to Shemoneh Esrei. So we bow all together four times. What are the four times? When we start the Shemoneh Esrei, and then again when we get to Baruch Hashem, Magen Avraham. So that's the first and the second. Tchil v'soif by Avos. The reason why it's called Avos is because we say Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov, and we end off Magen Avraham. Why do we end off Magen Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? So Rashi and Chumash says Choisman v'Loi Behem. We end off with Avraham and not with Yitzchak and Yaakov. And then by Do, when we get to Moedim again, Tchil v'soif in the beginning of Moedim, we bow. And also when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Atoyf Shimcha, Chon El Ahoydais, again we go through the bowing. So you have all together. 2 plus 2, 2 by Ovis, 2 by Do is 4. What happens if a person decides, you know what, I want to really be super from, and in the beginning of every one of the brachas, every one of them at the beginning of the brach, he wants to bow, and then Baruch Atah Hashem, he wants to bow again. We teach him, so what's so terrible? If he wants to bow, what does it bother you? That's the bottom choices. Look at the last choice. He wants to bow. So let him bow. Does it bother you? Does it bother me? What's the problem? So choice. If everybody's going to do his own thing, and I'm going to go and do this bracha, and you're going to do that bracha, I like Rafa'inu, there I'm going to bow. And you prefer bowing at Baruch Aleinu, and he prefers bowing at Shema Kaleinu. Then the whole thing is going to be hefker. You're not going to have any rules and regulations. Everybody's going to do his own thing. So therefore we teach everybody, come on, please follow the same pattern, the same minhagim. Don't go and do your own thing. Otherwise, you're going to be oikir all the rabbanim, because it's going to have this chum, and it's going to have that chum, and then the whole Torah is going to be left up to whatever you want. It's going to be like... putty, what is it?
Silly putty.
Silly putty. Everybody will go and put a little bit here and
play doh.
And then Toises gives another reason. You see, it says v'chayshinu liyara. So the Aleph, the Bach says this is kimoi like another v'yesh oimer, more like another tevracher. Where's the Bach? Oh, kloima v'oid chayshinu liyara. There's another problem of yara. Yara means a person that looks like he is pompous and he tries to put false ears about himself as if he's really specially holy. Everybody else only bows four times. But I'm going to go and bow down in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei 180 times, 10 times chai, and then the Kodesh Baruch will give me a long life. So he considers himself, he makes himself like a great tzaddik. Now, how does that make himself look like a great tzaddik? Because we'll see in a moment on the Omid Beis that there's an inyan that the Kohen Gadol and the Melech should do more kriyos, more bowings than we do. Like the Gemara says, Omer b'Shimon Pazi, Omer Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. We're saying now Omer b'Shimon Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. Hedjoit means your normal, regular individual. Come on, Shimon, like we said, just for nothing more, nothing less. However, Kohen Gadol, the Soif Kol Bracha Ubracha. At the end of every single bracha, he should go and do the bendings, the bowings. The Melech. Tchilas kol bracha ubracha, b'sayif kol bracha bracha. Oh, the Melech Shetaka do every bracha individually, at the beginning, at the end. Yeah. So now we understand better what Tois is saying, that chashin liyara, it's as if this person says, King Trump, I'm just as good as them, I'm even holier than that guy, I'm better than that Melech, and he should be impeached, and I should be taken, and I should be the new president, I should be the new Melech, ich kan besser. So therefore it looks like Yara, the guy is grandstanding, and he's even greater than the king, and therefore... you hold your place. You're a hedjit, you're not a king, you're not a kohen gadol. Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, l'didi mefarshni minei Rav Shimon Levi. I understood Rav Shimon Levi differently than the Gemara just said now. Remember, this was Rav Shimon Levi. That what, instead of the kohen gadol, b'soif kol bracha ubracha, and the melech tchila, b'soif, I was mekabel from Rav Shimon Levi, the hedjit k'moy shemana. That's the same. B'kohen gadol, tchilas kol bracha ubracha, the Kohen Gadol at the beginning of each bracha, and the Melech Kimin Shekara Shivein Azoykip. The Melech is supposed to go and bow at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, and he should stay like that until the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and then he should finally stand up when he's finished the Shemoneh Esrei.
When was Shubin Levi and Shubar Kapara, and this is Shubin Levi, I guess, on his own? And there's not a steer here. He said here, Shubin Levi and Shubar Kapara.
True. So he's saying that I heard from Reb Shimon Levi and the Shame Reb Shimon Levi differently than what was quoted in the name of Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. And what did I hear? You heard that Reb Shimon Levi said the name Bar Kapara that Kohen Gadol b'Seif Kol Bracha Ubracha. I heard that it's B'Tchilas Kol Bracha Ubracha. And you said that the Melech is B'Tchilas Kol Bracha and Seif Kol Bracha. I heard that the Melech should stay one bowing, one bending from the beginning until end. Shenemar, why do I say that by the Melech? Where does that come from? It says Vayichalish Shloimeh L'Espal, when Shloimeh Melech finished his davening, until this time, the whole Shemoneh Esrei, he was down on his knees. He made a full-fledged kriya, and now when he finished, now he stood up. Is the chasim that the Melech is supposed to go the entire Shemoneh Esrei from beginning to end on his birkayim, bowing, bending, and then at the end to stand up?
So then, from what he like doesn't make
kind of like the Catholics to.
We're going to talk about a little bit more, Mir Hashem, in a moment, how extensive the bending and the bowing is supposed to be. We're going to see that in a moment. But notice, there's another girsa here, meaning that the way we've just learned this second version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it doesn't stim totally with the first Rabbi Shimon Levi, because the top line we said the Kohen Gadol will be Seif Kol Bracha Bracha, and the Melech is both Tchila and Seif. And then the second Rabbi Shimon Levi says the Kohen Gadol should be Tchilas Kol Bracha Bracha. Tchila, well, why? If the first one saying Kohen Gadol will be Seif, why should he say Betchila? Okay, so the second one, the Melech, he's saying it's not just bending in the front and the back, all the way one from beginning to end. But if you notice the Aleph, which takes us to the Hagrog, the Vilna Goyim, after the word Tchilas, he adds the word Vesoif. Tchilas Vesoif. With this, it's better. Meaning that the second version of Bishum and Levi is, don't say like you said before, that the Kohen Gadol is Soif Ko Brachu Bracha, and it's the Melech. That's Tchila and Soif. Rather, no. It's the Kohen Gadol that's the Tchila Vesoif. That's, like you said, Melech, that's really the Kohen Gadol. What about the Melech? The Melech, we're also going to upgrade one more grade. Then Sef Tchila Vesoif is going to be Kara Shuvin Ezoika from beginning to end. Right? So it's going to be beautiful. So this is, then it's a little bit more consistent, because otherwise, why should they be arguing the beginning of the Bracha, the end of the Bracha? What the second Lashon is, each one is getting an upgrade, not just Kohen Gadol, only at the Soif. He is like the Melech of the first version of Tchila Vesoif. What about the Melech now? So the Melech, we also have to push up one grade. So we push him up by giving him Kriya from beginning to end. Give a Shikara, Shavin, a second. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit more about the traditional bowings and bendings. And the Gemara tells us that in the Torah we see three separate Lishoinis of people bowing. One is called Kida, one is called Kriya, and one is called Hishtachavah. What are the differences between the three Tanur Rabbanan? Kida al Apayim. Kida means that a person bows so much that he goes down to his face onto the ground. Shenemar Vatikat Bas Sheva Apayim Oretz. Now, exactly how the Kida works, our Gemara doesn't go into. However, other Gemara, for instance, Besechta Sukkah tells us the Kida was only. The only person who was able to do this effectively who is someone who was very acrobatic. Because what did he used to do? With the fingers, exactly. That you had to go and hold yourself.
Two thumbs.
Yeah. Exactly, on the two thumbs, exactly. Everybody, Baruch Hashem, give a hand, give a finger to these people. That what they did when you go and bow down. I'm sorry?
Thumbs up.
Actually, the thumbs were down. But yeah, because when you get up, the thumbs have to go up. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the person would bow down to the ground, put his fingers on the ground, that is one finger, one thumb on this side, one thumb on that side, and then we'd have his head go and touch the ground, like kissing the ground. And whether or not the person actually had to stand on his head or not, the Gemara doesn't tell us about that. It doesn't sound like it. All the person had to do was just balance himself on those two fingers, put the head all the way to the ground, and then stand up again. However, if you try this out, you'll realize it is not something which is very easy. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that Levi did such a kida, and unfortunately he was not successful, and as a result he became permanently lame. In other words, he wasn't able to stand up perfectly, because presumably he got his spine out of kilter or whatever, and trying to get up from the two fingers. Anyway, so Lamasa, don't try it. Anyway, this is kida. Kriya is al perkaim. Kriya means that you go down on your knees, and that's how you bend. Lav dafka, that you put your head down. Just the going down on your knees. Shenema mikroya al birkov. That's the definition of kriya. Knees on the ground. Hishtachavazu pishu yudayim veraglayim. That means you go down all the way, your entire body, and you stretch out your hands all the way on the ground, and you have your hands in the back, and then hands in the front, and the feet in the back, and you really spread out. Totally as if you're spreading out on a bed or something, totally down to the ground. Shenemar, Havoy Novay Aniv Yimcha Be'achecha, Lehishtachvois Lecha Arza. The Hishtachvois has to be totally on the ground. Now, obviously, the Pesuk itself doesn't really give you the full quality or character of the Hishtachvois. It just says, Lehishtachvois Lecha Arza. In fact, if you go back to Kida, there also says, Vatikat Basheva Apayim Oretz. So the Apayim was on the Oretz, and here it says, Ultishtach Valecho Oretz on the Oretz. Theoretically, you can go and switch it around and say that maybe the Kida is Pishidayim Veraglayim, and maybe Shtachavo is just on the fingers. So, in fact, you have to say that there was a Shtikel Kabbalah over here. If you look at the top Toisvis, Kida al Apayim, Umaisikro. Even though we find the Apayim Oretz, we find the Oretz by the Hishtachavola Moshel. Really and truly, that a Kabbalah had Mesoira, that's the definition of Kida. He looked it up in the old ancient dictionaries from Adam Arishain. What's the definition of Kida? That was Alapayim. Find Epsa Posik, find Epsa Raya. Oh! So I have shtikla smachta, shtikla remes from this pasuk of a tikkat vashem, but that's not the real mekor. This is just Messiah, this is just...
Not with the thumbs.
Sorry?
It's not...
It doesn't mention about thumbs at all, exactly. So, in fact, Buri says it's thumbs up. Oh, so by Kida, you just put it down on your fingers. You have the head going to the ground, just fingers, and then you have to spring up again. Then you go, totally on the ground, all the way from beginning to end.
By your lady.
Like, well, when we say mean on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That, I think, is a little bit of a modified form, because people are typically,
Today we cannot do Yadayim V'Raglayim, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash.
Ah, okay.
So we go on our knees.
All right, on our knees, but also we put our heads down,
yes.
But we don't do full Yadayim V'Raglayim. It's a modified form of Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay. Yes, Bozochti.
Avoid it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, even the way you say it is a modified piece of language.
Yeah. You're doing very well. So, first you go down on your knees, and then you go up. I agree with you. Good, but it's not the Hishtachva of our Gemara, because Hishtachva. Exactly, we don't do a full Pishadan Baraglayim, we do a modified form. Good, the Dr. Gemara Vaita, Omra Priya Berei Ravuna, Chazin Lula Baiva Rava, to Matzlu Atzluye. Matzlu Atzluye, says Rashi in the fourth line. When they did an afilas apayim, they didn't do a full pishidayim raglayim. They went a little bit to the side. So I'm not exactly clear what Abai Verova did, but obviously it was a modified form of what we were talking about, and perhaps that was kind of the forebears of what we do when it comes to tachnun during the week. We don't do a, even though it's an afilas apayim. Did anybody ever do a kida, an afilas apayim, that puts their face on the ground? No. We just kind of put it on the side, on our sleeves, on our arms. So perhaps that's the forerunner of that. Also, there were matzli, mat, and altsidein. Maybe it's closer to what we do. Anyway, lamasa, those are the different definitions of the kida, kriya, hishtachva, and abai verova that did altsidam, not a full-fledged pishadayim raglayim. Tony Chod. In one brace it says that if when it comes to moidim, if then you go bend, that's a gutezach, that's your praiseworthy.
He bends his knees.
Normally the word kareya means bending the knees, but I'm assuming they don't mean kriya like we were talking about down on the floor, that you bend your knees, but just like we bend our knees somewhat symbolically, and then you bend over, yeah. So if that's what you do, that's a great thing, meshubach, you deserve a gold star. Yeah, praiseworthy. It's not nice at all. Don't do it. The chasira. Either it's good or it's bad, you know. Do you get a merit, do you get a demerit? What's going on? If you're doing it, you're good. But Rav, in fact, did do a kriya both at the beginning and at the end. And we said on the Amud Aleph that that's what the headyard is supposed to have. Yeah, we said that back in the Amud Aleph.
I said beginning and end.
Exactly, the headyard does the beginning and end. And Rav also did halacha l'maisa. I'm a little button. I'm my coven marachi. I, didn't you go and hear that the Braisa says, one Braisa says Meshubach, one says Meguna. So what's going on, Rav? Amalahu said, "Rav Chazin, Rav Nachman, I saw Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the great poysik hadar, and I saw he did a kriya like that. What do you want from me? You know, go right to Washington. It's not my fault. Go ask Rav Nachman. Go ask Rav Sheshes. For faith in Mavatanya, I'm sechato farta brayta korei boydo harzem meguna. Everyone he boydo shebahalel." That's not talking about, like the Gemara said until now, betchilas hoido or soif hoido in Shmonesrei, that we all do, beginning of Moedim, and at Baruch Ato Hashem, Atoif Shimcho Cholam Lohidais. About that, everybody agrees. What we're talking about in the Braisa, that you're not supposed to be bending by hoido, that's talking by halal. What's that in halal? When you call hoido, Hashem ki toiv, ki lelam chazdoi, then you don't go and bend over. Thank you more about Tani, but I have another Braisa. Hakurei bohido, u bohido shal halal harizem aguna. So I see that the first hoido is not referring to hoido shal halal. It's referring to hoido, luchhoira, Moidim Ishman Asrei, that you're not supposed to bend. And here it says, if you bend, both of them are Maguna, and yet Rava and Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis and all of us bend by Moidim. What's going to be? The Brisa says you're not supposed to bend by Haidah. Everything by Haidah, Shabba, in Bechas HaMazon we also say Haidah. When do we say Haidah? Noid Elecha HaShem Melekeinu. So Noid Elecha is also a form of Haidah. So we say Noid Elecha, then don't start standing and bending and going on your knees and bending down. No. If you do that, that's good. V'shachtir? Hey, that one too. Okay, good. So have another one. Shkoyach. That's really, I don't know that the Gemara, when they talk about Birchas HaMazon, whether they're including that, because that was like Tachnunim that they added on later on. Because the real benching ends by Ali Chasreinim. So, anyway, regardless. So getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, bottom line is that Haidah of Halel, Haidah Hashem Kitav, don't be correct. By the Haidah of Noid Lecha, don't be correct. According to Jake, by the Haidah of Hashem Kitav, Kim Chas at the end, don't be correct. The only time you're supposed to be correct is on Moidim in Shmon Esrei, and that you should do, beginning and end, like we do.
Question.
Yes, Mendy.
Why mention Haidah benching?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Halel.
Oh.
But also Birchas HaMazon is Midah Arayis and Halal is not, right? I think
it's the Halal from Rosh Chodesh Zichron, right? Halal on Yom Tov, and that perhaps right. Is Minafay.
But Birchas HaMazon is definitely.
Definitely, that according to everybody, the Chalt of Savot Verachtin. Some people even say the Chalt of Savot Verachtin. So you know for sure that's Minafay. Zok the Mishnah. Hamispalel v'toa. What happens if a person is davening and unfortunately he made a mistake? Simiralai. That means that Chas V'Sholem, this tefillah will not be accepted by the Rabbeinu Shalom because he made a boo-boo. Dim Shliach Tzuberu. And if he happens to be Shliach Tzuber, if he's the Chazan and he makes a mistake, it's not only Simirah for him, it's Simirah L'Sholchav for the Oilam that sent him up as a Baltfillah. He's just a Shliach Tzibur. So if he messed up, it shows that there is a defect, a deficiency in the Tzibur. We'll see in the Gemara shortly that this doesn't refer to the entire Shemen Esrei. It's only if it's at the outset of Shemen Esrei. If the person goofs in the middle of Sim Shalayim, Mishkeferlach. If it's right at the beginning of Ovais, instead of saying the Kiyavram, the Kiyitzchak, the Kiyakiv, he said the Kiyakiv, the Kiyitzchak, the Kiyavram, if he made a big boob at the beginning, then that's a real bad one. Which we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Now, Omar Allah Rab Chanin Medoisa, we had Rab Chanin Medoisa several times, even yesterday we had Rab Chanin Medoisa, was such a tzaddik that everybody was nervous about being bitten or being stung or whatever by the Aroid, and the Aroid, and they had a big sign, stay away from Rab Chanin Medoisa, because if you go and sting him or you try to bite him, it's curtains for you guys. So Rab Chanin Medoisa obviously was a great, great tzaddik. Kol la'oilim kulei nizim mishvil chanin benim, chanin beni. Nizoin mikav cheruvin erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. Everybody in the whole world had their mizoinus as a result of his tzidkus, and he lived in a abject poverty. He ate kav cheruvin from week to week. So they said about Reb Chanina Mendoza when he was mispalel for a choy v'chas v'shalom. V'oima, and if he said zeh chai v'zeh meis, after he finished davening, he would be able to go and tell you that after he was mispalel, he would say this Baruch Hashem, this tefillah worked. This tefillah, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mekabel the tefillah, and unfortunately, this person is going to pass away. How do you know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you a cable, he sent you an email and saying, this one yours, this one, how do you know? Omelahem, imshkura tefillah mefi, if everything went gishmiat, normally the way it's supposed to, yidei nishum mekabel. Demlav, if there was a little bit of stuttering and stammering, then I know yidei nishum meturuf that it's not going to be glach, it's not going to be chai, chas v'shalom, it's going to be a real mess. Good. So we started with the beginning of the Mishnah that if a person made a mistake, Simen Ralei, ahai. On what part of Shemen Esrei do I say that if he made a mistake, it's a Simen Ra? Omer of Chia, Omer of Safra, Mishem Chad Debei Rebbe, Be'ovois. This Simen Ralei is only if it's the very beginning of the Tefillah, in the first Bracha to Mogen Avram, if there he messed up. That's a Simen Ralei, because that means you just start off the Tefillah and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is already sending you a subtle message. Mister, not today. Your Tefillah today, it's not going to be accepted. But if it's all the way at the end, Nishkefelech. Ikin Masil Abraisa. There was another version that not Reb Chiya Omer Safa Mishum Chad Bei Revi. When he said Ba'ovois, he was referring to our Mishnah, but on a separate Braisa. What is it in the Braisa? Hamispal Tzar Shechavin Esliva Bekulon. A person who's Davi Shemen Asrei should be Mechavin the entire Shemen Asrei. But Bidiyevin, Meini Yochel Chavin Bekulon. If for some reason he cannot be Mechavin, Yechavin Li Ba'achas, at least Mechavin in one of the Brachis. And the question is, hi, which one of the brachos? And again, we have the same on the Yoma. Om Rav Chiya, Om Rav Safra, Mishum, Chad, Be'Revi. Which one? And the Ovois. And that's why you see that a lot of people from Baruch Ato Hashem until Mogen Avram, that goes very slowly because they try to have a lot of kavanah in each word, because that's what you have to have as your bottom line, at least that first bracha. And then after Mogen Avram, they tend to go more quickly because there the kavanah is not ma'akif. Amra Olam Reb Chinim Ben Doisa, that if it was Geshmiat, he said it's Chai, and Chas Hashalom, if the Tefillah wasn't so Shigur B'Thiv, Chas Hashalom, he said Nes. How do we know that there is such a concept? Amra Reb Shimon Levi, the Amakras, in the Pasuk, Boi Nifs Vasoyim, Sholem, Sholem, L'Rochik, V'Lakorev, Amra Hashem, U'Refosiv. The word Svasayim, of course, means lips. The word Niv means to pronounce and to enunciate. The word Boire normally means to create, but here it's from the word bori, which means it's healthy. So therefore, if the pronunciation or the enunciation of the sfasayim of the lips was bori, was clear and healthy, then you know it's going to be sholem sholem l'rocha kolakarev omar shem refasit san refias and san chai and altet san gut. But unfortunately, if the niv sfasayim is not going to be bori, then unfortunately the patient might also not be bori. So that was the makar for the distinction between Shkura B'Fiv and not Shkura B'Fiv. Om Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Om Reb Yochanan. So now we're going to quote Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan on three or four separate memories, which are unrelated to our Gemara. But the reason why we bring them is because when we get to memory number three or number four, we're going to quote again this pasuk of the Sholem Sholem L'Rochik V'Lakorev. So therefore, that's how we get a little bit off on a tangent to talk about other things. So Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan. When you look through Nach and you see where the Nach describes all of the wonderful things for a person who is doing good, in other words, Ayid, that is an Erlechid and does his mitzvahs the way he's supposed to, so all of the Schar that is enumerated or listed in the Torah, that's for a person who is careful to be Macy, Bittel Tamid Chochem, he marries his daughter off to a Tamid Chochem, Oisavak Magda Tamid Chochem, he helps Tamid Chochem through his business, Mahana Tamid Chochem in the Chosav, he supports Tamid Chochem, etc. That person is such a nice guy, says the Tanakh, he's going to get lots of rewards. Ava Tamid Chochem Atzman, the Tamid Chochem himself, Ayin Roasa, Elikim Zuloscha, Yiyosel Amachak Eloi. Nobody's ever seen, nobody can even dream or imagine the great, great rewards that are in store for the Talmud Chacham himself. Another member, all the wonderful things that it says, if you're going to be good, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take you back, all of that is talking about Yemois Mashiach. Later on, only the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the greatness of all the beautiful rewards that are in store for us. That last member of Rabbi Yochanan is in disagreement with Shmuel, the Yom Shmuel. Ein bein Olam Hazeh liyemois Mashiach ala Shivin Malchis Bulvad. The truth of the matter is between Olam Hazeh and Mashiach, we keep on holding Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. The only difference that's going to be is that all of the governments are going to be removed from oppressing us. Shivin Malchis means the oppressive governments and regimes that are giving Yidin Tzoris throughout the generation. So that's going to be removed by Yemois Mashiach. But otherwise, it's going to remain the same. Even at that time, even during Yemois Mashiach, people still have to have panos, and there'll still be people that unfortunately don't have panos, and the collectors and all that. Nothing will change except the oppressive regimes. Whenever you see in the psukim that there are going to be all types of wonderful types of rewards for all people that do good things, that's a Bali Tshuva. Bali Tshuva means he originally started off bad, and then Baruch Hashem. But a Tzadik Gomer from beginning to end, Ein Lerasa, these rewards in store for him are beyond belief. And like I said in the pasuk, I'm the rasa. So tomorrow, please, Rabbo. With this last memra, argued Rabbo. The Amr Rabbo, Mokim Shabbal Tshuva Oimdin, Tzadikim Yimurim Einam Oimdin. Where Bali Tshuva can go and stand, Itzadi Gomer cannot stand. Meaning, the Parshat Pshat, that the Bali Tshuva are on a higher madrega than the Tzadikim. And if that's the case, you just said now the Bali Tshuva are on a lower madrega, right? You said that whatever you reward, you find the Torah, it's Bali Tshuva. It's like the Tzadikim Gemur, it's much, much greater. Ein le'rasa, whoo-hoo-hoo. But Rabbi Vos is the other way around, that Mokesh Bali Tshuva, and then the Bali Tshuva are on the highest pedestal. They are in first class. Well, the Tzadikim Gemurim, they don't get to first class, they're only in business class. That's what it sounds like. So we have a machloik, she never said in the Pasuk, Sholem, Sholem, l'rochik v'lakoroid. That's the Pasuk that we quoted before, the Boyer Nivsvasayim. That's how we got into these memories of Rav Chiya bar Abba Amr Yechanan. To Sholem Sholem L'Rochik L'Karev, what does that mean? It's Sholem Sholem first L'Rochik Bereisha. L'Rochik means someone who was a Rochik and you were Makarev him, Makarev Rechoikim, and he became a Baal Tshuva. He goes first. But L'Karev means Hadal L'Karev, the person who was always Karev to the Torah from the very, very beginning. So I see that the Baal Tshuva comes first in line before the Tzadik Gomor. Rav Yochanan, what does Rav Yochanan do with this pasuk? L'chayra, Rav Avoh has a good rai from that pasuk. So Rav Yochanan, no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. Rav Yochanan, amalach, my rochik, show your rochik midvar aveira meyikara. When it says shalom, shalom, the rochik means the person has been a tzadik gomer from the very beginning. He's always been far from sin, rochik from sin, from day one. He goes first. Umay karev, she a karev midvar aveira. Originally, initially, he was karev midvar aveira. And Baruch Hashem, then he became a baal tshuva. And then, Menesrachim, and then he became Baruch Hashem and Elchid. But therefore, the Rochik LeKarev, don't learn Rochik is referring Baal Tshuva first, and Karev means a Tzadik, but for Karev, Rochik means a Tzadik first, and the Karev means a Baal Tshuva second. Menesrachim, Menu Hashtu. Good. Nushtikl. We keep on saying that this type of great reward for the Talmid HaChomim and for the Tzadikim Gemurim, etc., etc., Ein Le'Rasa, can you give us at least some idea of what's meant to say in the Rasa? My Ein Le'Rasa, I'm Rav Shimon Levi, Zayin HaMeshumar, Ba'anova Misheshis Yimei Breshis. This is wine which is Meshumar in its Anovim. In other words, it was never squeezed out or crushed out from its original grapes. It's yain which is still preserved in the original grapes all the way from Sheis Mebreshes. So you don't have to worry about that it got sour. Otherwise you might have sour grapes. We don't want a sour grape. So therefore, this is yain Meshumer inside its grapes from Sheis Mebreshes. Of course, this is esoteric. What does that mean? That here we're saying, oh, the great reward is going to be, we're going to have delicious wine. So of course, the Mefarshim, the Kabbalistic Svarim, try to explain what that means. But today they have a psanigin, right? What are we going to eat to Mirat Hashem after Moshe Mashiach? I'm sure Simcha can sing it for us after the Shir, that they're going to eat Levyosin and the Yanim Meshumah, right?
But also it says that the Etzadas is Machlokas, what type of tree it was, uh-huh. is a Geffen.
It's one of the Maniyam. So you think this might be
a good Maniyam?
Oh, very nice. Here we're talking about Eden, where nobody ever has seen what Eden looks like. That's the Ein Le'Rasa. Are you going to say Shem Tem Adam Rishon? Hey, Chanoi, wasn't Adam Rishon and Eden? No. He was in Gan of the Eden, but he wasn't in Eden itself. How do I know? Shem Tem who Gan who Eden? You can say, come on, that's semantics. Gan and Eden, Eden and Gan, it's all one and the same. It's Gan Eden. Tamaloima, the nor yoitzme yaiden, the hashkes has a gun. She see gan lechud, the aim lechud. So Adam Rishon was in the gan, and the grois, the tzadikim, grois elchin, the tamil echamim, they're going to go into Eden, where even Adam Rishon didn't see what's going on in Eden. Tanabat, one final story over here, a couple of stories about Rav Chanina ben Doisa, Maas v'shechol benoi shel Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel sent two Tminchom to Ruchin Mendoisa, Lavakish Olav Rachman for Ram Gamliel's son. Kimishiroi's son, as soon as Ruchinina Mendoisa saw these two Talmid Chacham coming to him from afar, he said, ah, I know why they're coming. They're probably coming for a tefillah, for a choyla. So he didn't even wait until they came. Olali, he went up to the attic, to the roof, or to a higher floor. Uvikish Lav Rachman, he was Mvakish Rachman for the son of Ram Gamliel. Biridose, when he came down, he saw the two Talmid Chacham, and they said, Bechina Mendoisa, do you have a moment? We want to talk to you about an urgent matter. Ham Lehen, Lechu Shulchatzasi Chama. However, you can go back home to Ram Gamliel, Baruch Hashem, the fever has already gone down, the Baruch Hashem, the child is going to live, everything is going to be great. I'm alive. How'd you know? What's going on? How do you know? I have such a kabbalah and shkura tefilasi b'fi. If the tefillah goes gishmiat, yedei anishu mekubal. Then I know the Kadosh Baruch Hu has accepted my tefillah. V'imlav yedei anishu meturif. And Baruch Hashem, the tefillah went so great. By the time I came down and you arrived on the scene, it was perfect. Everything is fine. Okay, Yoshua Kosu, they wrote down exactly what time it was. This was 10:03 in the morning and 83 seconds. It can't be 83 seconds. 23 seconds they wrote it down. And when they returned after Rugam and the Kidnoi Sashah, exactly when was that? Shaboy Tsaram Gamliel, when the two Tamid Kham came to Gamliel, Omlahan Tsaram Gamliel said, Havoida, Havoida is a Lashon Shvuah. I swear, Lechasartim, Lechasartim, Elekachoyam Maisa. I want you to know the 23 seconds wasn't a second too early, not a second too late. But Oyster showed exactly at that moment that you say that Rabbi Chinam and Doise came down and told you, Chotzosi Chama, Taka Chotzosi Chama. And for the first time in a week, the Shalonu and our son asked us, Mayim Lishtois, he wanted to go and drink. In other words, until that point, he was so feverish, he couldn't even express himself. Finally, Baruch Hashem, the fever went down. For the first time, he said, Oy, I'm parched, I haven't drunk in days. So Mamish exactly Rabbi Chanina Mendoza on that very month. Vishuv Maizer Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Shalach Lumet Toyd Eitzel Rabbi Yechim and Zakai. He went to learn Rabbi Yechim and Zakai. Vicholu Benoish Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, and the son of Rabbi Yechim and Zakai unfortunately was sick. Om Maloy, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, even though Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was the Talmud, Rabbi Yechim and Zakai said to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Om Maloy, Chanina Bni, do me a favor, Bakish Olav Rachman, go and say a tefillah on behalf of my son. He should live. What did he do? He took his head and he put it down between his knees, and then he was kind of bent over. And then, and he had a refuah. And as we'll see in another moment in the Gemara, it looks like he only left his Roish Ben Birkov for a very short period of time. If I would go and bury my head between my knees a whole day from beginning of the day till that night, Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't even pay any attention to it. Put your head between your knees, put your heads on your knees on your head. Who cares? Do whatever you want. But you, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, suggest the moment you put down your head and boom, psh, unbelievable. Is Rabbi Chanina Mendoza any greater than you? No, he's not greater. He's like an eved that comes in front of the melech. What does that mean? Ke'eved and kesar, explains Rashi. An eved can go into the palace at any time during the day. After all, what does the eved do? He has to go and fix something, he has to serve, he has to do sponge, he has to do this, that. He doesn't need any appointment.
Unlimited access.
Beautiful. Mashenkin Asar, even though he's a grace minister, but he has to make an appointment. He can just barge it. Otherwise the king will go and dismiss him. He's got to go and ask for appointment. I need an appointment. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, I'm busy for the next couple of days. You come back. But he can just go at any time. Therefore. And you see from this Gemara something fascinating. When I was learning with Rabbi Bick, he said, you never find, how often do you find Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa in a Mishnah that said episode Dvar Halacha? Yeah, you find Rabbi Lezer every single day, and you find Rabbi Yeshua, and you see Rabbi Meir, and you see Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. Every blot you have all of these great giants. However, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, the only time you find him is in connection with such stories, and you don't find that he said episode Halacha, Potter, Mutter, Osser, this, that, or the other thing. So apparently already in the times of Chazal, there was already the concept of great goinim and great mesoida, people that had the mesoida of the learning, and then you had also the great tzaddikim that not necessarily were they one and the same.
Great oivdei Hashem.
And so therefore it is similar in a sense to what we have today, and like we've had for many years, that there are great Rosh Yeshivim, great Rabbonim, and 100% all of them are very great. On the other hand, you also have great tzaddikim in the form of Rebbes and other tzaddikim, and sometimes of course they overlap, you know, Chofetz Chaim was both, etc. But the point is that there are some people like Chanina Mendoza, he's not famous in the Gemara for like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Yeshua or like Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda. We don't bring him every day of the week. We only have occasionally in Chas, but he was the tzaddik. Everybody, even Rabbi Yechim and Zaki and Rabbi Gamliel, they needed a refuah. They sent Rabbi Chanina Mendoza to Rabbi to go and send it to Kvittel. However, apparently Rabbi Chanina Mendoza may not have been on the same level of goyness in terms of learning, because we don't find him. And vice versa. Okay. Right. This is really a repeat we had a few days ago. That there's a pasuk in Daniel that when Daniel was espoused to Hashem, he made sure there was windows in the room. Shem, like said the pasuk, Chavein Psichan Lei Milisa. Chavein Psichan Chavein over here means windows. Psichan Lei were open in his Elisa in his room. Negi Yerushalayim towards Yerushalayim, and then the Gemara said you have to move south towards Yerushalayim. Omer of Gan, Chotzev Olayim Man, the Matzli Bebiksa. It's considered to be a chutzpah, those that daven out in the open in a bika, in a valley. Valley lav dafka means out in the open, because one's supposed to daven in a mokum tsenua. Because in mokum tsenua he has emas hamelech olav, and this, by the way, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. The chachila one should not daven in the street. A person should always go and daven. You find every once in a while you have people that are quite traveling. They're at an amusement park or here, there, and anything.
Or they're running late.
They're running late, exactly. And they go and form a minion out in the street in front of a building, in back of a building or something.
By a gas station.
By a gas station
on the way back from the mountains.
Exactly. Preferably, you should go and daven inside a room where there is a ceiling, because Rashi says it should be makom tzniyus. It should be makom tzniyus. Tola olav, chola olav, emas melech, v'liboy nishbar. That gives you a greater avad if you have no other choice or whatever, but under normal circumstances, you should try to daven inside a room and not outside. Again, it's the same Rav Kana, Chotzev Olayim Man de Mefarish Chatoi. When a person is davening and he's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for a tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu for a kapara, he should not go and spell out the chatoim out loud, because Shinema Ashin Yisrael Pastor Kusui Chatoi, it's better that he should go and cover it up. What's the reason why a person should not go and say it out loud? Because if other people, one of the reasons it's given is because if other people hear it, they'll say, oh, that's what he did. I thought I was the only guy that did X, Y, and Z. I see other people also do X. You know, misery has company. I'm not the only bad guy. Everybody else is doing the same thing.
Chizik to people.
It gives them chizik to the people that did chatoim. And besides, it's supposed to be embarrassing to chatoim, not to go and proudly say, "By the way, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I did this, that, and the other thing." Rather, don't say anything out loud. Of course, in your mind, you say, "Rabbi Shlom, I did X, Y, and Z. Give me a kapara for all of those." But don't be mafarish chatoim. Have a wonderful day.